little Bill Haley and the Comets as we welcome in Sean Lash of the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you guys.
Good to have you back with us. This exciting time for people looking up into the skies. We've had about 2 or 3 weeks now when we've been able to see the comet based on weather conditions locally.
Yeah, Comet Neowise really has been the brightest comet we've had since about 1996-97 when we had Hale-Bopp, so it's been quite a while, and this comet was visible to the unaided eye, and I did see it again on basically on Friday night, but it is starting to fade quite a bit. So I do tell folks that right now your best bet is to really have a pair of binoculars if you want to see this comet, and it's just a little bit below the Big Dipper, which is an easy landmark for most folks to see in the night sky.
Yeah, and that's how I was able to look at it. I caught it a little bit middle of last week, but then Friday with binoculars, using that as my guidepost, I was able to see it, and it wasn't too bad, but it's very cool. When's the last time that Neowise came our way?
Well, this comet is what we call a long-period comet, so about 6,800 years ago from what we can tell. So if you miss it this time, you probably aren't going to have a chance to see it again. So I do encourage to get out and try and take a look. I know right now the weather for tonight is not looking so promising, but there's still a little bit of time. But again, it is fading pretty rapidly. Last week, Wednesday and Thursday, it made its kind of closest approach to Earth, and after that, now it's starting to fade a bit. But It is still visible, and get out there and try and check it out if you can.
I had a friend who posted some beautiful pictures of it over Mount Katahdin, and it was a great shot.
Yeah, there's some really great photos out there. And in fact, John Meter from Northern Stars Planetarium in Waterville, who has a portable unit he takes around to schools, also took some really beautiful pictures of it and was on the BDN a couple weeks ago. So, there's lots of wonderful images out there of the comet.
Very exciting news. And also exciting news of the discovery of a new exoplanet. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's, of course, we're continuing to look for these planets going around other stars, but this is the first time that we've imaged a multi-planet system going around a sun-like star. So this is in the southern hemisphere in a constellation called Musca, or the Fly, as it's known. But there is a star that's very like our sun, and they discovered two sort of large gas giants going around it. Both of the planets are actually a bit larger than Jupiter, but it is the first time we've seen a star like our sun with multiple planets in it. And so this is a major discovery. And of course, hoping that these discoveries will continue to give us more information about the formation of our own solar system and how common solar systems like ours might be.
That's excellent. Well, a lot of good stuff going on out there. Also, as far as Amera Astronomy Center goes and the planetarium, you're going through some technical upgrades. What have you got going?
Yeah, we just finished an upgrade process here about 2 weeks ago, and we have replaced out our projectors and our computer cluster. So things were getting at the end of their life cycle, and our anonymous donor provided a means for that to happen about a year ago, and we were able to get things in the queue and ordered, and it arrived here right around the time that we shut down for COVID, so we had to wait until the borders were open, and I went through the whole permission process so that we could get our vendor to come in from New Hampshire, and so the beginning of July we got that installed, and it gives us a brighter image, and of course the computers are a bit faster. We can do even more with them now as well. So that's really exciting for us, and we're looking forward to hopefully reopening in September. Originally we were going to try to do so in August, but there's some testing that's going to be happening on campus right above our building that last week in August, which will make it a little tough. So keep your eye on our website and Facebook page. We'll have updates as soon as we get permission, because we're going through that process right now, but hoping that we can open around the 1st of September or so.
And
it'll be different though when we do. Only 11 people allowed in the dome.
And you've also been a great resource through the summer for students and young people looking to learn more through the website and the Facebook page.
Yeah, we've been posting a whole variety of things. We've had some flat screen content, primarily on the Facebook page, and I've done some regular sky lectures. We also started this online astronomy club utilizing the SLU telescopes, the Universe Explorers of Maine, and we just had another star party this past Friday night, where basically we can work with folks and show them live views from these two different telescopes, both in Chile and in the Canary Islands. And so that's been really a nice way, since we can't open our own observatory, to be able to, share the night sky with people and some of that. And we've been doing online camps with Challenger, and we have some virtual astronomy experiences for schools as well. Our plan is to, continue going forward with those as we go.
I was watching a TV the other night and came across 2001, A Space Odyssey. And that's one of those for me that if I get there, I'm staying for a while and had to watch it. From your perspective, what's the most realistic movie in the last 40 or 50 years that's had to do with space travel?
Oh, gee, that's tough. I do think The Martian was done quite well. They had a lot of consultation with NASA. I always tell folks, the whole thing about science fiction, we have to remember is that fiction portion. But I definitely think The Martian was done relatively well. Space Odyssey, 2001, back in the day, was done, I think, pretty well as, too. And amazingly, some of the stuff that was talked about in Star Trek, almost predicted, you might say, in Star Trek, has come true, from communicators, which we now have in our pockets, otherwise known as cell phones, to they're even getting closer to the tricorder type of thing that can look at the human body in more detail and planets going around other stars, which again were science fiction at the time, but now we've discovered several. So it's pretty interesting that some of it has actually come true. And same with Arthur C. Clarke, a lot of his stuff around satellite technology, also has come true, where we now use satellites to provide global wide communications and a whole variety of other things.
When we talk about looking up into the skies to not only look at the comet, but look at the stars, the planets, so many young people are interested in that. What's a good way to start without spending too much money? Is it best to get a good set of binoculars, or would you suggest families maybe invest in a small telescope if they've got some young people who are interested?
Yeah, I always recommend that people start with binoculars, and also start with learning your constellations, which there's lots of resources online. Heavens-Above is a place you can get, star charts and make them for your location, any date and time. And then we have some other resources we have posted on our website, like Stellarium. But start learning the constellations, because they're kind of your guidepost. And then I tell folks, it's kind of that whole thing of, crawl, walk, run. So crawling is learning the constellations. That's sort of your first bit. And then binoculars are a nice second step. And the wonderful thing about binoculars is, you can use them for other things besides stargazing. And a lot of people already have them at home. But start with binoculars and start scanning the sky and finding some things. And then if you really like it, jump to the telescope. Because, binoculars, I think, gives you an idea of some of what to expect through a telescope. I always think it's good to kind of go that route. And right now, there's some great things you can see. For instance, Jupiter is in our evening sky as soon as it gets dark in the south, Saturn right next to it. With Jupiter, binoculars will show you those Galilean moons, you will need a small telescope to see the rings of Saturn, but again, you can see quite a bit with binoculars, and in particular the summer Milky Way, too. Scanning that area, you can see lots of different stuff. So definitely binoculars are a great choice.
And you won't be able to see it with your binoculars, but they posted a beautiful image taken from the Hubble of Saturn that was posted on the Amera Astronomy Center website over the weekend.
Hubble just took one around July 4th of Saturn, and it's really nice. And right now, Saturn's rings are tilted really wide to the Earth, so we're getting a really spectacular view. And for those of you who happen to stay up really late, Mars rises a little after midnight, and in the next couple weeks, we're going to have a major launch to the planet Mars, the Perseverance mission, which is coming up, or Mars 2020 mission, is set to launch, and that's a rover that's going to be looking for microbiological life on Mars, and taking some samples, and it's also going to have the first helicopter that we've deployed to another planet. So there's actually a mini helicopter on board that's going to be doing some short flights on the surface of Mars. So it's a really exciting mission. Launch window is between the 30th of July and I believe around the 15th of August. So it's coming up pretty soon. And it'll take it a while. It'll get there around February of 2021.
Wow, well, that's exciting stuff. Sean, always great to catch up with you. We appreciate, as always, making time for us here this afternoon, and we'll visit with you again next month.
Sounds great. And, we look forward to sharing the sky with you, and do check out the Facebook and website for more information and hopefully reopening soon.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Sean Lash from Amera Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium here on Downtown.